In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, the things we have done and the things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, your Son, Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. Give us grace to love one another, to follow in the way of his commandments, and to share his risen life with all the world. For he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh. reading from Acts. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe, for you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. Let your face shine upon your servant, save me in your steadfast love. A reading from Peter. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourself be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you, then, who believe, he is precious. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a stone that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. For now on you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was reading our gospel lesson this week. I had trouble with those first words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Because one of the things I learned early on in marriage, and it took me a long time to really understand that it wasn't helpful, is saying to my wife, "Calm down." You'd be surprised how unhelpful those words are. And not only not helpful, but it makes things worse, right? And that's the vibe I was getting when I heard Jesus say in that, right there in John chapter 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." If we're bringing to Jesus all the things in our life that we're wrestling with and that's going wrong, and is Jesus just saying, "Hey, just calm down. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Jesus isn't the aloof husband that's saying, "Calm down," right? What Jesus is doing here, he's acting more like a parent. For those of you who with kids or grandkids or have cared for children, you ever been in a situation where you reassure a child that's uncertain about the situation they're in, right? They're not know what to make of it. It might be a new territory for them. They have some anxiety. They're scared. And you're assuring them that it's going to be okay. But it's not It's not this kind of calm down and I have no solution to anything that's going on in your life. Jesus is saying, it's going to be okay, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of it. There's a huge difference there, right? And then the child knows that, okay, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. But the person that I trust is going to be with me throughout this, or is assuring me that this place is safe. We are assured that in both life and death, there is a place for us. There is a place for you. And Jesus wants us to always remember that we are at home with Him. And then we hear in John 14:6 today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there are Christians that have arrogantly used this more as a weapon, as opposed to an announcement of good news. Not a promise, but a threat. Believe or else. Rather than Christians using this verse as a weapon for those on the outside, we should take this as a reminder, and in the context of Jesus talking to his disciples, for those of us trying to follow Jesus, and telling us where we place our heart matters. That's what he's telling us. Yesterday we had the coronation of King Charles III, and I came across this quote from C.S. Lewis. Monarchy can easily be debunked, but watch the faces. Mark well the accents of the debunkers. These are the men whose taproot in Eden has been cut, whom no rumor of the polyphony, the dance, can reach. Men to whom pebbles laid in a row are more beautiful than the arch. Yet even if they desire mere equality, they cannot reach it. Where men are forbidden to honor a king, they honor millionaires, athletes, or film stars instead, even famous prostitutes or gangsters. For spiritual nature, like bodily nature, will be served. Deny it food, and it will gobble poison. No, I'm not making a case for monarchy, but I think what C.S. Lewis is reminding us is the reality of idolatry. We might look at what took place across the pond as Americans, and maybe as American Christians, and say, man, how can we have that much devotion to a king? But in the United States, we don't have a monarchy, but we fill that up. I mean, C.S. Lewis, maybe it's not billionaires today, it's millionaires, but it's billionaires today, right? Athletes, film stars, politicians, we still do it. It's in our broken nature to fill that void. We still want to rebel from what God desires for us. We look to other places for comfort. But Jesus reminds us that the only place that we will find true peace is with Him. That assurance that we will be at home forever, that is all through the love of God in Jesus Christ. But there are those, as I said, that want to use John 14:6 as a threat that we offer the world. But we bear witness to a God who is relentless in loving us. The cross is a testament to how our God does not give up on us. Even in our rebellion, even when we hang our hearts on other things or on other people, even in our arrogance and our stupidity, our brokenness, God's love is unconditional, and the cross and tomb cannot stop our God who is love. It's sad that there are Christians in this world that relish in the idea that they're on the in-group and then there are other people that will perish. It's almost as if they want it. But that's not what our God desires or wants for the world, and that's not what He calls us to offer the world. Perhaps as we relate to people in the world, we should remember John 13:20, when Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me." That should get us to think differently about how we relate to people, right? That you can be someone's only encounter and touch point with Christ. That is a big deal. And how is that witness? How is that relationship? Is it one of judgment, shame, and condemnation? Or is it one that extends love, grace, mercy, and forgiveness, reminding them that they are always beloved and that there's a place for them. There's a home for them where they can belong forever. In our first lesson, as Stephen is extending mercy to those who are condemning him, we are encountering the person who is the first martyr of the church. He's not filled with the spirit of anger. He's not filled with the spirit of arrogance. He does not look up to heaven and gloat. He doesn't say, "I'm coming, Lord, too bad for these people that don't get it, that are condemning me." No. What does Stephen say? Those who are condemning him, those who are killing him, he hopes that they get what they don't deserve. Stephen shows us that following the one who is the way, the truth, and the life means that we want everyone to get what they do not deserve from God, because we got what we do not deserve from God, which is grace and mercy. Stephen shows us that even when we are confronted with persecution and death, that we are still comforted knowing that Jesus will take care of us in both life and death. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Stephen is embodying this. Stephen is trusting Jesus like a child trusts a parent in an uncertain and scary situation. Jesus is inviting each and every one of us to a new way of living, inviting us to abandon the ways of the world that seeks to get even. Jesus invites us not to succumb to our temptation to be God, to put ourselves on the throne and thinking that we can call the shots. We should be grateful that the one who's calling the shots is the one who loved us so much he took on our humanity. We should be grateful that the one who's calling the shots was faithful all the way to the cross. We should be grateful that the one who was calling the shots rose from the dead and does not come back with vengeance but with peace. We should take it to heart what it means to follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not an answer to a fill-in-the-blank question. It's an invitation to how we should live our lives today. When we arrogantly weaponize the way of God, we do not only foolishly place ourselves on the throne, thinking that we call the shots, but all we do is perpetuate the deadly cycles of this world, seeking to dominate our neighbor and relish in revenge. The mercy that shines forth on the cross and in the witness of Stephen breaks that cycle. Sadly, I think there are too many Christians in our society today that are the ones holding the stones. But we are called to embody the way, the truth, and the life, to live a new way, to break the cycle, to show others that we do not have to succumb to a world that's filled with other gods, filled with empty promises, that leads to nothing but dead ends. When we look at the witness of Stephen, such a way of life can lead to beautiful things, can transform lives. And Jesus is assuring us that no matter what, everything's going to be okay. That's the witness. That's the truth that we bear in this world. Since we are at home with the living God, we desire just to invite people home, that they have a home with God as well. For example, our Stephen ministers. I'm sure that in there, we have some Stephen ministers here. When you're working with care receivers in your training, you don't say calm down, do you? Right? Like, that's not what you do with someone who's going through crisis. For those of you who have ministered to people one-on-one as a Christian, it's not just saying calm down or offering empty platitudes or Bible verses. We walk with them. We accompany them in their struggle. And it's through that relationship, like in the case of a Stephen minister with caregiver and a care receiver, or with any of us have encountered a relationship in ministering to someone struggling. they can hear God's promise in that relationship, in that accompaniment, in that walk. They can feel at home in a time in their life where they might otherwise feel far away. That is what we're getting at when we talk about following the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Breaking the ways of this world and bearing witness to a new one. When there is vengeance, we show peace. When there is hate, we show mercy. Where there is condemnation, we show God's grace. When people are ignored, when people are placated, when they're suffering, we walk with them. The way of Jesus shows us our way home. And we bring into this world the good news that there's a place where we can dwell with God now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all in need. God of life, strengthen your church to proclaim your gospel even in times of trouble. As we remember Stephen, we give thanks for diaconal ministry. Please bless all deacons and strengthen them for their bridge-building ministry between church and world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, you show us your steadfast love through mighty waters, towering mountains, verdant fields, and arid deserts. Protect the earth's diverse habitats from the forces of pollution, erosion, extinction, and global warming. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Mighty God, your Spirit guides us into all truth. Give wisdom to the world and local leaders and organizations as they begin, build, or renew relationships. Strengthen leaders and aid organizations in areas needing to be rebuilt following conflict, unrest, or natural disaster. Hear us, O God. Loving God, you make your home among us. Abide with refugees, those experiencing homelessness, those fleeing war and poverty, and all who question if there is a home in your heart. We pray for all who are sick, especially Charlie, Justin, Tracy, Mike, Donna, Joellen, Pat, Dixon, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, Marcus, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Vanessa, Lucas, John, Kelly, Diane, Carol, and our homebound. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Assuring God, you accompany your people amid uncertainty and change. Uphold people in this community who have recently moved, changed jobs or schools, retired, or are going through transitions of any kind. Lead us in your ways. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Renewing God, you gather the saints at your heavenly banquet. We give you thanks for the care shown us by those who have gone before us. Grant confidence and comfort for all awaiting the place you have prepared. Hear us, O God.
Our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Let us share with one another sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, Mighty One, Merciful One, we give you thanks for you are the one who brings life out of death. In the beginning, when there was nothing, you spoke and the whole universe came into being. You quieted chaos and pierced the darkness with your life-giving light. When waves of wickedness threatened to drown your world, you sent the flood to destroy sin and save your good creation. When your people cried out to you from the depths of slavery in Egypt, you gave us a meal and set us free. When we were dry bones in a valley, you sent your life-giving spirit to raise us up and to put a new heart and spirit in us. And in these last days, you have given us Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, who willingly gave his life on the cross to show us the fullness of your love, and who rose from the grave, destroying the power of death. And now you invite us to this feast of your victory over the grave. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Pour out your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of our Lord and of his resurrection, upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that we might receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anyone participating in Children's Church or assisting with the distribution of the sacrament. We will distribute the sacrament continuously. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for a consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, we'll have that on the lectern side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Please rise. You've been filled with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the whole world of his love.
Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
I'd like to invite those who are bringing communion to our homebound to line up at the altar rail here. Gracious God, loving all your humanity, all your family with a mother's tender care, as you sent the angel to feed Elijah with heavenly bread, assist those who set forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are homebound. In your loving care, nourish and strengthen those who will receive this sacrament, and give us all the comfort of your abiding presence through the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.